praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees till the very end. I love this passage of scripture as David writes in the book of Psalms about God's word is a light to our path and it's a lamp to our feet. Meaning, as believers of God, of Jesus, we are to live our lives according to the word of God. He is our direction. You know, the scripture is the inspired, authoritative word of God, meaning God wrote it through human hands, and its authority is that we subject our lives to live according to what it says. In 2019, you would know as well as I that we are living in some of the craziest days that we have ever had as a generation, as a world, where things are crazy, confusing. We might not be in the midst of actual war, but we are in the midst of a massive spiritual war. That things are, you know, we can acknowledge that the spirit of the world is at work? It's when really, really intelligent people are making really, really stupid decisions. Because, you know, like we as Christians, right, we, like I'm talking about today, we live our lives according to God's standard. We live our lives according to God's word and what he directs us and his insight, whether it feels comfortable or not, whether it feels right or whether it doesn't. We live according to God's word. And so for us, there are some things that we live according to that are God's standard that don't make sense to the world. Like, for example, sleeping together outside of the context of marriage, according to God's word, we believe that is the wrong thing to do. It would be called sexual immorality. We believe sex is kept sacred for the marriage bed. To non-believers, that sounds crazy. And for them, it's okay because they're not subjecting themselves to the laws of God. They've not decided to follow Jesus. And so therefore, they don't have to live according to his standard. But those of us that do say that we serve Jesus, we submit our lives to his lordship and leadership, we are called to live according to God's word. These sorts of things are moral standards according to God's word that we choose to live by. However, then in this generation, there are some standards of living that don't even make sense on the common sense level. Like, as you know, it's like we could all agree that the sun comes up in the morning and goes down in the evening. And that's not a moral standard. That's just is what it is. If I was to come and say to you that the sun doesn't come up, it actually comes from the side and goes across like this, we would all say that's crazy. Yet in this generation, it seems appropriate that if I believe that to be true, then it is true. And that's not a moral conviction, that's just common sense. Like so we have this crazy world that we live in, but if we don't understand that this is the spirit of world at play, then we will find ourselves in a position to potentially fall subject to this deception. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, it says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. That means demons are out there teaching things. And it means there's a spirit that's looking to deceive those in the faith. You see, when it says some will abandon the faith, meaning it's not saying in later times the spirit will come and deceive those who are already deceived. It says that there's this spirit or these doctrines of demons that will come to deceive people of the faith, which is you and I. And if we're not careful, if we don't become a generation that lives our lives according to God's word and according to God's standard, then we'll find ourselves in a position where we could very easily be led away from the faith by the way that seems right to a man. The way that feels good in a moment. The way that removes the confrontation that might be in front of you. We have to be very careful that we recognize this morning, this very profound, yet I believe one of the most important truths that we can realize is that the devil is a liar. This morning, the title of this message is, The Devil is a Liar. And I truly believe that this truth is one of the greatest things we can recognize in this generation, that the devil is a liar. Because who here knows somebody who's a compulsive liar? They lie all the time. Who here is a compulsive liar? Are you lying now, hey? But like really, it would be foolish to listen and believe somebody who is known as a compulsive liar. That would be called crazy. So if we can recognize this truth that the devil is a liar, then we'll understand it would be foolish to listen to him when he speaks. The problem is many of us don't know the truth, so we don't recognize when he's lying. Because if you know, there are some things which we can agree, like, you know, let me read this scripture really quickly in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13. It says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Meaning the mature in the Christian context is those who have trained themselves to be able to discern the difference between good and evil. Now, it doesn't take the gift of discernment to acknowledge that murder is bad. Like killing people generally worldwide is considered a terrible thing to do. But we have to be trained in discernment, because some of the things that are being presented to us and some of the most difficult things to discern are not those that are obvious, but those that sound right. The things that feel good. The statements like, everybody love everybody. Or the statements like, love wins. Because these are slogan statements that feel like, of course, yes, love does win. But the context of that statement is not suggesting the same love that you and I believe in. You see, we believe in the love of God that sent Jesus to save the world. That love wins. Not just love wins, because the love in the worldly context is perverted. It's been twisted to say, we can just accept anything at any time, even if it's actually crazy. It's not love for me to disagree with you. So therefore, you can say the sun comes across rather than up and down. So we have to recognize that our discerning is being able to discern even the sneaky little lies that come in. But we can only do that by being found in the truth, which is the Word of God. We can only do that by standing firm in the faith. The Bible says that to resist the devil, stand firm in the faith. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. It's impossible for you to stand in faith without being found in the word of God, because you're actually standing on your own understanding and not on his understanding. You're standing on your truth and not on his truth. And when you stand on your truth, then your truth will be subject to the emotions that you feel, to the context, the pressure around you, the media that's in front of you. I want to tell you, we have to be a people of God that keep our eyes singular. With every opinion, with every post, with every internet post or every TV or news, we have to be a people that keep our eyes singular, found in the word, and we don't live our lives according to the truth of man or the way that seems right to a man, but we live our lives according to God's word. That's our standard. That's where we stand on, so we can stand firm in the faith in the midst of a very confusing day and age. Amen. The devil is a liar. When I first moved to South Africa, it's a wonderful country, but some of the things I love about Africa is how much the regulations are a bit blurry. Or like, you know, like there's not so much red tape. And you can, you know, like, for example, we went to this lion park. Now, I don't know what the lion parks are like in Phoenix, but the lion park that I went to in South Africa, you can drive your own car through it. So here we are taking our little Suzuki that we bought when we first moved to South Africa, and we're driving into this lion park. We get to the gate, and the man there, he actually has one arm, which he swears is not from a lion, but the devil's a liar. And he says, listen, before you go in, just want you to know these lions are a little bit naughty. Now, if you're anything like me, YouTube's a thing. And if I've seen on YouTube videos of lions opening car doors. That's a picture of a naughty lion. Or, you know, there's like, there was this tourist in Johannesburg. They said, don't roll down the windows because lions might get you. And so they rolled down their windows and they put their camera out, and the lion reached into the car, pulled them out of the car and mauled them. Like, these are the sort of things that I've seen. So now I'm in Africa and the man says, the lions are a little bit naughty, so be careful. He says, look, if they come near the car, just slowly drive away and you'll be fine. And so now here I am in Africa driving my 3-month pregnant wife into this lion park. And we're driving around, and so far seems very casual, and get to this part where the lions are all laying down and one of them stands up, which seems to be a normal behavior for animals standing. And as I'm going, it starts to come closer to the car, and I'm like, it's fine. You know, and next thing you know, it's really close to my car. And as I'm, so I remember he said, okay, naughty lions, just drive away slowly. There'll be no problem. And so I slowly start to drive away from this lion. And next thing you know, I'm feeling this goom, goom, goom on the back of my car. And the lion is beginning to play with the tires on my car. So now I'm like, all right. So your adrenaline starts going, and you know, like, I don't know about you, and my adrenaline goes, my legs shake, so it's like shaking, and I'm like, I'm not afraid, it's just adrenaline. And and as I drive, I'm driving away, and I start driving to where I thought the exit was, because there's a way that seems right to a man. You come in here and you go out there, sort of in, out. And so I'm driving to this perceived exit, and when I get there, it's a complete dead end. So now I'm stuck in this small circular dead end because I thought the exit was there. And the only thing worse than a naughty lion playing with your car is a naughty lion near your car. Now you don't know where it is. Because I don't know about you, but like snakes, like I hate snakes. Everybody should, because Satan was a snake. And but like, the you know, I hate seeing a snake. But the only thing worse than seeing a snake in your house is a snake you know is there that you can't see. Like, that's really bad. Because anyway, so now I can't see this lion, but I know he's there. And so I'm slowly, you know, put my car in reverse, and I start to reverse out of this dead end, and I'm going. And as I'm reversing the car, I'm like looking everywhere in all my mirrors, can't see the lion anywhere. And I'm like, but I know he's there. Where is he? And so I'm reversing, and I reverse around, and I go to where the exit actually is. And as I put my foot on the gas to go, out of nowhere, this lion leaps up behind my car, puts his paws on either side of the car, and his face on the back windshield. So now we're like screaming, because that's very, you know, now it is fear, not adrenaline. And as we go, I'm like racing out, but it's 2018. And so as we're going, my wife's like, but get a picture, get a picture. And so now we're driving, but also like trying to get a quick selfie. And you can scroll through and see the blurry photos of a potential lion on the back of our car. And luckily, we escaped out of that lion park, and I actually thought he would have scratched up my car with his paws, but he was a very nice lion. He kept his claws inside those gloves. And so, but I get out to check, and I walk around the back of the car, and he actually had bitten a chunk out of the back bumper of my car. All that to say, there's a way that seems right to a man. Like, when I went into this situation, I assumed the exit was here, but I didn't know the truth. And so when I was in the midst of a crisis, I ran towards the way that I thought was right, but it was wrong, and I found myself in a dead end. Come on, we need to be a people that recognize in the midst of chaos and confusion, the Bible says that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Come on, if you want to know the heart of God, you find it in the person of Jesus. If you want to know the will of God, you find it in the life of Jesus. If you want to know how to live your life according to God's ways, then we live it according to the life of Jesus. The scripture says those who say they believe in him ought to walk as he walked. This morning I wanted to get across one simple point, is that the devil is a liar, but those that don't know the truth cannot recognize the lies. Point number one this morning is this: Satan has power. Now, it's an odd first point, and in no way am I trying to glorify Satan this morning. In fact, my job is to expose him. But we have to be a people that recognize that he has power. You know, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." This is where I want us to pay attention. Verse 8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." The scripture says, be alert and of sober mind. You have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he has an agenda to destroy your life. We, you know, there's one of the famous statement from a man called C.S. Lewis. He says, the greatest lie the devil ever told the world is that he doesn't exist. We need to be alert and of sober mind and recognize we have an enemy. We have an enemy whose assignment is to destroy our future, to destroy our present, to rob us of our purity. He has an assignment to take you out. This is not to invoke fear in anybody, but it is to make you aware. It is to make you understand that, you know, I don't believe there's a demon under every rock, but I do think they're under much more than we imagine. Because we find ourselves in this place, you know, yes, sometimes we make stupid decisions, but there is a devil and he has an assignment to set you up to fail. You know, people say, you know, Satan has no power. You know, the truth is he is a cut off withering branch. And the truth is that in the end of time, he will be done away with. But we would be foolish to not acknowledge that he does have power. You know, Satan wasn't always Satan. He was actually an angel with God in the beginning, and he, because of pride, he fell. But did you know this powerless Satan that we talk about, when he left the heavens, he was rejected by God. He took a third of God's angels with him. He's the author of anxiety. He's the creator of cancer. He is the A in addiction. Come on, I want to tell you, he has an assignment to destroy marriages. He has an assignment to rob children of their purity. He has an assignment to enter into our schooling system to deceive young people into a way of thinking while they're young so that they can find out and live in a certain way when they're old. I want to tell you, do not be caught unaware. You have an enemy, and if you pretend he doesn't exist, if you live like he doesn't exist, then you'll find yourself caught in certain situations where you don't know how you got there. You need to be aware and alert that you have an enemy whose assignment is to destroy your life. He has an assignment to destroy marriages. You know how he works. He presents these things to people in marriages, or maybe to the man, or maybe to the woman, where you know, you're dissatisfied with your spouse, and so you go and find validation in somebody else. He's the one that is provoking these feelings inside of you. He's lying to you so that you will find discontentment and go and try and find it somewhere else. And when you do, he's on the other side of that problem, making you feel guilty and ashamed for doing it. He doesn't mind how he gets you. He doesn't mind if it's money that will take you out. He doesn't mind if it's abuse that will take you out. He will give you those things. But I want to tell you, we have to be aware that we have an enemy. And he comes to deceive even those of the faith. Number one, Satan has power. Number two, his power is in deception. Or the devil is a liar. We have to recognize this truth. You know, in John 8:44, it speaks and it says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." It's all he knows how to do. You know, in South Africa, there is around 11 different dialects. Some of the most common is English, there's Afrikaans, there's Zulu, and there's one called Xhosa. And each different culture is grown with their native language. They're raised up with their native tongue, and that's the language that they speak until they have to learn another one. Satan's native tongue is lying. It's all he knows how to do. He will give you deceptive thoughts here. And like I said, a lot of them will feel good. A lot of them will sound right, but there is a way that seems right to a man. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. The narrow way that leads to life is God's word. It's set here for us to live according to his truth. But if we're not a generation that are found in the word and we don't know the truth, I'll say it again, then we won't be able to recognize his lies. You know, I'll give you an example. When I was young, about 16 years old, I was in love with this girl. And I was convinced she was the one I was going to marry, because at 16, these are the sort of things you know. And then, you know, a year later, to my shock, we broke up. And she was the one that did the breaking. Now, I was heartbroken. I had genuine heartache. Anyone ever had heartache before? It's a real thing. You know, and you know what it actually is? It's actually the rejection that you're feeling. Because, you know, the rejection's a real thing, and it causes heartache. No one wants to be rejected. It's why, like, technically you can break up with someone and you're so happy that you technically don't have to be around them anymore, but you're still hurting, is because they rejected you. And so, but, you know, this happened, and so a week went by and I was so heartbroken. 2 weeks went by, I was just miserable. 3 weeks, you know, 4 weeks, a month, and I'm like, I'm never going to find another girl. You know, you're just like, this is it. 2 months, 3 months later, I'm still just like really down about this thing. And, you know, one of the crazy things that plagues this generation is the epidemic of depression and anxiety. It's gone crazy. When I was in high school, if you asked me what anxiety was, I wouldn't even be able to give you an answer. But these days, every second person is struggling. And so there's this thing that's plagued our generation, and I truly believe it's the spirit of the world at play to deceive a generation from their destiny and from their purpose. And this is how it works. He lies and he deceives, and it's crazy what's out there at the moment. Because, you know, in Proverbs, the Bible says, as a man believes in his heart, so therefore he will be. Now, if scripture is true, then that scripture is true. As a man believes in his heart, so therefore he is, or therefore he will be. But do you know what that scripture is not saying? I have a friend named Josh, and he's from Ghana, so he's black. Now, in this country, when I say black, you can feel people go, "Wee, can you say that?" But the truth is, he's from Ghana, so he's black. Like, that's just sort of is what it is. You know, like, and so this thing, Josh is black, and I really like Josh, and he's very cool. And, you know, like, honestly, be so careful not to let yourself slip into the wisdom and the atmosphere of what's happening in the world. Because, you know, like, we know racism is demonic, right? Like, just straight up, if you're being racist, you're functioning under a spirit of Satan. Like, just, it's a terrible, terrible thing. But, you know, because of the climate of the culture, and yes, when things are done wrong, then they should be rectified. Things shouldn't be done wrong, but don't fall to the atmosphere of the world. You know, I was in New York and I was preaching, and I told a story about how in Africa we're dealing with like some crazy demons. And this lady wrote in a letter complaining to the church, why would they let this white racist person speak in their church? He's saying that black people have worse demons than white people. Now, I know it seems crazy, right? But what happens is when we let the spirit of the world whisper in our ears, even in the context of church life, we take things out of context and we hold on to this thing that is actually not true. We have to be very, very careful to not subject ourselves to the atmosphere of what's out there. We're meant to be in the world, but not of the world. Don't take your doctrine from CNN or any news station for that matter. Don't take your truth from social media or Facebook or Netflix, for goodness sake. Like, I'm amazed how many people come to me. I watch this thing on Netflix, you know. And I'm like, it's Netflix. Like, come on. Like, you know, amazing how many people find their truth and validation through Netflix. But, you know, my friend Josh, he's like, if I believe that I'm black, right, because I want to be like Josh, my skin color is not going to change. Are we aware of that? Like, but as a man believes in his heart, so therefore he is, then what's it saying? You see, what it's saying is that if I believe that I'm black because I want to be like Josh, my skin won't change color. But I might start acting a little bit more like Josh. I might start dressing like Josh and talking like Josh. And because what it's saying is if you believe something about yourself, then that's how you outwork the way that you live. Does that make sense? So when I'm 16, I'm 3 months into this thing, and this is what might happen in this generation. You see, my mother might be seeing me, and one of her friends would notice that I'm very down, because I was down, because this happens. And if it was now, someone might say to my mother, listen, I've seen Joel, we think he might have depression. So now this lie starts to float. And my mother is like, oh my gosh, maybe he does, because it has been 3 months. And then so she might come to me and say, listen, sweetheart, we think you might be struggling with some depression. Why don't we take and get you checked out? And then what happens is this, and then my mother might take me to the doctors. Now, for me, one of the most unfortunate things is how many Christians will take their children to doctors that don't even believe in God. Be very, very, very careful to take your life and put it under someone who functions in counseling and psychology according to the wisdom of the world. And then for Christian counselors and psychologists, let me challenge you and make sure you're not practicing according to the wisdom of the world, but according to the truth that's found in the Word. So you see, what happens is I'll be taken to this doctor, and he's a professional. Now, as a young person, these people have influence over my life. And please don't let this example limit to just young people. I understand that it's through every age group. But then I'm there, and this doctor might say, yes, looks like Joel has signs of depression. Why don't we give him these things and help him manage the problem? And now, as a young person, I have these things floating into my brain that, man, maybe I do have depression. And as a man believes in his heart, so therefore he will be. And so Satan lies, and he uses the wisdom of the world. He uses sympathy. He even uses heartfelt decisions to deceive people. And as a man believes in his heart, so therefore he will be. So if I believe that I'm depressed, then I'm going to live depressed. Then I'll find myself in an actual pit of depression, which if you've had depression, you'll know is very difficult to get out of. But you see, what happens is these lies come, and if we believe them, then we'll live them. Because what happened to me 16, 17 years ago was, as I was walking on the beach one day, 3 months after this breakup, I was walking with my grandfather, and he flicked me in the chin. Now, 2019, you'd be arrested for that sort of behavior. But he flicked me in the chin. He said, you're my grandson, walk with your head up. And so I lifted up my head. I remember it clearly. And I put my shoulders back, and I was like, didn't feel like it, but I did it. And I began to walk, and I began to walk out of that season of heartache. Because the truth is, I wasn't depressed. I was just dealing with heartache. But if I'm not careful, we'll let the lies land, and I'll begin to believe that I'm depressed, and then I'm going to live like I'm depressed, which will lead to actual depression. Does that make sense? You see, this is not to diminish or be insensitive to those struggling with a certain thing. It's to expose it for what it is so you can find the truth and get out of your pit. Because the truth is, as a believer, you're not supposed to manage your depression. You're supposed to get out of your depression. Because how it works? And it's so rife in this generation. The best way to feel anxiety is like if you have a really important exam coming up and you don't prepare for it. Like, you're going to feel anxious. A good way for me to feel anxious is to be not prepared before I preach a sermon. Or, if you're an introvert, like I'm an introvert. Most people don't believe that when I say that, but I am. And if I'm to go to a party, or say you're an introvert and you go to a party, there's 100 people there, it's loud, it's a bunch of new people, and you're like, I want to just stand to the side, don't want to really speak to too many people I don't know, rather speak to somebody I do know, and just like, that doesn't mean you have social anxiety. That means you are an introvert and you don't like big crowds. But the devil's a liar, so he's put these words in the air, he's put it all over the place, and you say you don't want to go to the party, there's too many people, and so someone says, well, maybe you have social anxiety, and now you have social anxiety. Now every time you see people, you're freaked out by them, because as a man believes in his heart, so therefore he will be. So if you want to change that thing in your life, if you want to walk in victory, then you need to renew your mind that recognize that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And as you change the way you think, as you begin to change the way you believe, I'm not saying you might overnight break out of that thing, but you'll begin to change the way that you walk, because as a man believes in his heart, so therefore he will be. And look, I don't want to discount, there is a moment in the presence of God that that stuff can break off your life. It doesn't have to be a process, but there's a moment where it can break off your life. But let me tell you this, an encounter with God can ignite you, but it's his truth that will sustain you. The amount of people I've watched in meetings, we pray, they feel the stuff lift. That's amazing. A week, 2 weeks in, but they don't find themselves found living according to God's word. They fall back into that same thing, because you can have an encounter with God, but if you don't walk according to the truth, then you won't continue to walk free. Are we okay? The devil is a liar. He lies. He's been lying from the beginning. And his power is in deception. Number three, maybe the worship team can come. Number three, Satan has power, but he has no authority. Luke 10:18, Jesus speaking, says, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Jesus says, I have given you authority to overcome all the power of the enemy. He has power, but you have the authority. We have to be a generation that recognize that we have been given the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That we are a generation that can walk in our authority as children of God. And the truth is, we say it's our authority, but the good news is it's not our authority, it's his authority, but he gave it to us so we can function in his authority. The Bible says that Jesus comes and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so now you go in that authority. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If we could be a people that recognize Satan might have power, but the truth is the devil is a liar, and he might have power, but he has no authority. He is a cut off, withering branch that is scratching for anything he can grab onto. And whatever you give him, he'll hold on to. But if you stop giving him those things, then he'll have nothing to hold on to. When he prods you and says, you are pathetic, if you bow to that thought, then he'll grab a hold of it. But if you recognize, devil, you're a liar, get out of my head. I'm a son of God. I'm called out of darkness and into your marvelous light. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. What right do you have to even speak to me? Because you have authority over Satan himself. As a man believes, so therefore he will be. You know, the scripture says that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. It does not say he is a lion. He's like a lion. He is a coward. He is pathetic. We will acknowledge he has power. We will not be caught unaware that he's a deceiving, lying spirit, but we will not fall subject to his lies, because we're found in the truth. We're found in the word. And the scripture says we resist the enemy by standing firm in the faith. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to be a people found in the Word, because if you want to understand how to outwork your authority, you find that in the Word of God. You want to understand that you have power over sickness and disease, you won't get it from me saying it in a microphone. You'll get it from being in the Word of God and letting the Spirit bring revelation out of it into you. You cannot live, I understand this is a prophetic church, and so I'm careful with my statement. However, you are not called to govern your lives according to prophetic words. You are called to govern your lives according to the perfect Word. Even the prophetic words that you receive are supposed to be governed by the Word of God. The outworking of the prophetic destiny of your life is outworked through the confines of Scripture. Because if you find yourself found in His truth, then you'll recognize the life. And the mature are those who have been trained by constant training to discern the difference between good and evil. That when something comes your way that feels so confrontational, that doesn't make sense, it's someone you love making a decision you disagree with, when you're found in the Word, you won't buckle to their belief system, but you'll be able to love them through it. You have been given authority over every power of the evil one. I'm just going to ask the worship team just to sing something in a minute. But we have to be so careful in this generation not to make sacrifices for the spirit of the world. Sacrifices of convenience, of discomfort. Did you know Jesus wasn't that well liked when he was around? Jesus said things like, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you can have no part of me. The Bible says that many turned away from him that day. And he turned and said to his best friends, his disciples, and he said, what about you? Are you going to go as well? And they said, where else will we go? Do you have a conviction in your heart that in the face of persecution, in the face of what the world might say about us, if everybody around you fell subject to the deceiving doctrines taught by demons, would you be one that say, where else am I going to go? Doesn't make sense. Everyone around me is leaving, but this is where I'm standing firm in. I was holding these meetings in South Africa, and we were praying for people, and there was many demonic deliverances happening. And we have a room where we take them to pray with them. And I kid you not, my friend Evan, we call him Satan Slayer on purpose, because, like, for example, this young girl was manifesting just wildly. One of my team was praying with him, with the young girl, and we weren't seeing anything. And my friend Evan, the Satan Slayer, he was over here. And this guy says to the spirit, he says, listen to me. Because sometimes demons talk back. Yeah. Now, look, I don't know what your doctrine is on talking to demons, but when they talk, it's impolite not to respond. So. I'm joking, that's not impolite. But Jesus spoke to them. Anyway. And he said, listen, do you see that guy over there? I'm not joking. And the spirit's like, and he said, if you don't go, I'm going to get him to come over here and get you out. Do you want me to do that? And this demon's like, I'm serious, freaking out. Because they knew who he was. Isn't that amazing? Because the demons are subject to our authority. And we prayed with this young girl for a long time, and it got to the very end. And honestly, we've seen some crazy stuff. Like, this young girl praying, and my friend, he's like, listen, Jezebel, it's getting lonely. It's time to come out. And like, I'm not joking. The spirit responds like this. I'm spawning 7 more. Sounds like a movie. I genuinely started laughing, because I'm like, that actually sounds like a movie. You can't make this stuff up in the bush in Africa. Anyway, prayed and came to the last one. And he said, strong man, what right do you have to be here? And it spoke up this spirit and said, blood covenant. And he said, what was the blood covenant? And the Spirit spoke up and said, she gave me her baby. Now, I don't believe that that young girl willingly took her baby and sacrificed her baby on an altar to make a blood covenant with Satan. But what happened was the spirit of the world, she aborted the baby and made a sacrifice to the spirit of the world of convenience. Now listen, that is not to make anybody who's been through that, had to do that, to make you feel guilty or ashamed. The Bible says there's no condemnation for those in Christ, meaning condemnation comes from hell. It is to say to those who have gone through it that that decision doesn't have to determine the rest of your life. And it's to say to those of you that might be thinking it, don't make the decision to sacrifice your baby on the altar of convenience to the spirit of the world. There's a reason that that stuff leaves so much torment in people's lives for the rest of their lives. It's because Satan grabs a hold of that. But today, you have authority. Even if you made that decision, you still have authority to take back your rights and say, I might have made a mistake, but I am not a mistake. I might have made a mistake, but I can change my future. I can change my destiny because I have authority over every power of the enemy. You, church, have all authority over every power of the enemy. And when you start to believe it, you will start to live it. And the more you live it, the more you'll believe it. And you'll grow up and you'll become mature and you'll be trained in the art of discernment between good and evil. And I want to tell you, you need it in this season. You need it in this generation to be a people of God who understand who you are and who God's called you to be. Amen. Are we okay? Let's give the Lord a praise offering.